I also think the experience part, the defense part for Corey, to me, I owe it to our team to see what that looks like.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We're going to recap Thursday's action in today's podcast. We're going to preview a very, very big 10 game Friday. There were injuries right across the NBA, so we're going to talk about all that news that went down today. And we're also going to shine the player spotlight on Darren Collison of the Indiana Pacers. So
let's get to it.
Thank you very much, Michael Bolton. Just a quick note, I am recording this during the final game of the day. The Warriors and the Spurs is currently in progress as we speak. When news comes out, because at the very start of that game, Steph Curry tweaked his ankle. He's gone back to the locker room. He's still in the locker room. And they said that he's going to retape his ankle and they're going to do some functionality tests to see what his status is. We will update that as the podcast goes. And actually, as I speak, the Warriors have just tweeted out that Steph has tweaked his right ankle and will not return to today's game. So hopefully that doesn't mean it's anything too severe. Obviously, we'll get more updates of that in the coming days. But at this point, Steph is out of today's action. And with the Warriors playing again on Friday, I'd have to expect that Curry won't be in that game against Portland on Friday. Hopefully, he doesn't miss too much more time. But we are going a little bit early on today's podcast, but we do have that news that has come through now, which is always good to get that news. The monstrous line of the night goes to Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics. 23-7-8 for Kyrie. 3 triples, 2 steals, and a block. He was 9 of 15 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line in his first game back after missing just that one game with a knee injury. Danny Ainge came out with some weird things earlier in the day saying that, you know, Kyrie's knee issue, he's going to have to manage that through the rest of his career in terms of minutes and load and that sort of stuff, and he probably has to have some other sort of surgery. But even in these limited minutes, he played under 30 in this game. It was a pretty comprehensive win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Irving was fantastic with those numbers. He's the 14th ranked player this season. He was 18th last year. Just consistently doing what he does. Score big, do it efficiently, hit threes, assists are okay. They've actually been up over the last 6 games, over 6.3, or so exactly 6.3 assists in those last 6 games. Get you a steal per game, which is obviously quite useful. And that efficiency out of a point guard over the last 2 months, he's shooting 52% from the field, which is something that you don't normally get out of that position. But Kyrie is doing that. He has been fantastic in this role in Boston, shouldering the load and taking this team most likely to the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Nemanja Bjelica of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Bjelica had a career-high 30 points, which included 6 triples. He had 12 rebounds and 2 assists, no defensive stats, and he was on fire with his shot, 11 of 16 from the field, and hit both of his free throws. He was 6 of 9 from 3 and overall converted 67% of his overall field goal attempts. In the last 2 weeks, he is a top 50 player, averaging 12.5 points per game, replacing Jimmy Butler, 7.7 rebounds with 2 triples and 1.5 steals. There's a couple of things here. He's shooting extraordinarily well, 55% in that time, including 50% from 3, and we expect both of those numbers to go down. But what he's also doing is he's getting you steals, and that's not something that he's really ever done before. He's averaging for the year 0.7 in 18 minutes. He's at 1.5 at the moment, in large part because he has played over 40 minutes the last 2 games and his minutes are well up. But those steals, those rebounds, those threes, and the scoring, it does have some use. But again, I will put a level of caution there that 50% three-point shooting, 55% from the field are numbers that are probably going to dip. And when you're at a level that's higher than what's expected, to get back down to a level which is anticipated, you're likely going to have some nights where he's at 40%, 42%, 30% from 3, which is going to deal, you know, it's going to be an impact on what he can do. Now, Jim Butler, he's aiming to return before the end of the regular season, but he still may not. So Bjelica is totally a fine add for some decent scoring. Yeah, think like a Bojan Bogdanovic type of a player who's hitting some threes. The rebounds and steals are an added bonus, which again, I don't necessarily know that that level will continue. I feel okay about the rebounds. The steals, not so much, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that he can give you, you know, 1 to 1.2 steals per game as this starting stretch continues. But he has been really good, and he was obviously very, very good in this game for the Timberwolves, despite them going down. The young gun of the night is Benny Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers. He had 10 points, which isn't a huge amount, but 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks, and 5 of 10 from the field. It's those other stats that Simmons provides that has made him the 27th ranked player over the course of the season and a top 20 guy over the last month. He's averaging 16.5, 7.5, and 7.5, almost 2 steals, almost a block on 54%. Yes, the free throws are bad, 57% on 4 attempts, which is punt territory. But over his last 2 months, he's at 61%. Over his last 8 games, he's at 68%. You get yourself to 68%, then you're not a punt guy anymore. It's very, very easily recoverable from. Can he maintain that? That remains to be seen, but it's been a steady improvement as the season's gone on. In fact, over his last 4 games, he's at 75% from the line. Clearly, that's a very, very small sample size, and we don't expect that level of shooting to necessarily keep going at that sort of a level. But he can, you know, improve it. If he improves it to 65 or 66, then we should be feeling like we're in a pretty good spot there, and perhaps we don't need to be punting that category, especially as we head into next season. Not much you can do now. I'm sure your team's built around that as it is. It might be a nice little boost, but if he can get that sorted out, it will be definitely a boon to his fantasy value, and should be able to keep him as a top 20 guy for the next few, or the next, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years, to be honest. Yeah, he's got that ability. The dart of the night. I tell a man's not hot. D'Angelo Russell. Wasn't a great night from Russ. 8-2-2. He was 2 of 8 from the field, 4 of 4 from the line. Both he and Spencer Dinwiddie saw their minutes reduced in this game. This is after he's coming off a 22-3-8 game. I said, oh, that's fantastic. But his minutes are up and down. His last 5 games, 32-38-20. 34 and 23 minutes. So completely up and down with that playing time. He still does need to be owned, but there are going to be these nights when his playing time is all over the place, when his field goal percentage is a significant issue as well. So you have to be able to deal with that. One of those guys that I think you do have to be punting field goal percentage to be able to deal with it. But yeah, he's still valuable in other categories. He's a top 100 guy in the last 12 games in only 28 minutes per game, and we push that up to 30 or so, then we're talking about a top 70 type of guy. I still do believe that he can be a useful fantasy guy. I'm not sure he's ever going to be a franchise carrying star or anything along those lines, but he can score, he can get assists, he can get you a steal or so. He can do numerous different things pretty easily. It's just that field goal percentage is going to be it's going to be a real problem that we do have to pay attention to, and you have to pay attention to that with your overall fantasy team build. We're going to go on now and talk about the games, the 4 games that have completed from Thursday, more detail. Don't forget, we're going to be talking about Darren Collison for the player spotlight later and doing a DFS preview for all 10 of Friday's games. Let's go into these games now, this box score breakdown portion of the show. The first game of the day was the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Charlotte Hornets. The blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, he has these games occasionally. 29 points, including 20 in the first half, 6 triples and 8 rebounds with a steal and a block. That's a fantastic performance, and he had been playing well. He had a nice stretch into the 2018 portion of this season, but started the year off pretty crap with his shooting percentages. But we know, like so many of these guys, when they have these big nights, it comes on really, really high percentage shooting, as he did here, and he's as streaky as they come and doesn't provide much value in other areas. But still, you need points and threes. Crabb can be that guy. Damari Carroll's strong run continues, 15-5, 3 steals and a block. He should be owned. While Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, 30 minutes for Rondé, 18-12-4, 1 steal and 2 blocks. A fantastic performance. His minutes were down in the previous games. He's still coming off the bench, but he's producing some pretty nice numbers. And yeah, I wouldn't say he's 100% a must-own 12-team league guy, but you've got to have a look if he's around. I think you also have to have a look at Caris LeVert at least. 30 minutes for LeVert, 22-4-8. You know I like him a lot, and I don't think there's any guarantee these minutes stick. As I said earlier, Russell only played 23 minutes. Dinwiddie only played 23 minutes, so LeVert got that extra playing time. But in a game where Spencer and D'Angelo are playing better, then there's just not going to be that level of playing time for Karras, and he won't be a must-own 12-team league guy. Sure, you need what he can do, that the schedule fits perfectly for you, then there's going to be some short-term value, but his role is far from locked in. His production is not necessarily going to be at this level, but you know I believe in him. You know I think he's going to be a good player. I'm just not sold on the value. 23 minutes for Dinwiddie. He had 10 assists and 6 points. He is really moving into drop zone territory. I'm not sure if he's a must-drop guy, but he's getting close to that. Well, Jarrett Allen with the return of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's seen his minutes decrease, just 21 here. A nice night, 13 and 7 with a block. But with him getting the presence of these other guys there, it is causing a problem with Jarrett Allen's minutes as he moves forward. And if there's someone else on your wire, a Larry Nance perhaps, a John Collins maybe, I would definitely consider making that move to go and get him, because we'll go and get those guys at the expense of Allen. Just as I mentioned, the return of Rondé is definitely cutting into his playing time. The Charlotte Hornets, Kemba Walker, 21 with 6 assists and 2 steals, a pretty strong night, while Dwight Howard only played 27 minutes, but still 19 and 7 with 3 blocks. Not the great bonanza you expect against the Nets as a center, but that's still pretty good in limited minutes. Impressive night from Malik Monk. Again, point guards against the Nets, they do tend to do well, but he played 21 minutes. He had 13, 3, and 5. He blocked a shot. He had a 3. And I think that the Hornets, this is a terrible loss for them, but they should be continuing to play Monk as the backup point guard, even when Michael Carter-Williams returns. I don't know if Steve Clifford will do that, but Monk expanding his game and adding these assists is definitely something that improves his overall fantasy value. Not saying he's going to be a 12-team league guy this year, or probably even a 14-team league player, but if he can snaffle 20 minutes a game, then anything deeper than that could be worthwhile, but he has struggled for majority of this season. Kid Gilchrist, under 20 minutes, 10 points and 5 rebounds. He is deep league stuff only, while Batum struggled through 6, 4, and 2. And Marv Williams had 7 points in 26 minutes. Of course, we're not really dealing with Marv in 12-team leagues at this point, and I doubt that'll be a thing that pops back up this year. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat, bad loss for the Sixers. Great win for the Heat. Dario Saric, the Bear, 20 and 10 with 4 triples in 31 minutes for Saric, 4 assists, nice numbers. He has been fantastic after a poor first 6 or 8 weeks of the season. Really good stuff from Saric. JJ Redick had 18, 3 and 5, a strong night from him, while Bob Cupp, that is horrible shooting, 0 of 10 from the field for Covington, but we know that the poor shooting is going to be an issue. 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and 1 block is really, really nice peripheral numbers, and that's the sort of thing that can keep his value up. Joel Embiid did not have a great night efficiency-wise. True shooting of only 40%, 28 from the field, 57 from the line. Ended with 17, 7, and 3. But we take this occasional real turd from Embiid. The last couple haven't been great, and we know that there's some big games in there. For the Heat, with everyone healthy bar Dion Waiters, their rotation looks like it's going to be a mess. They went with a 10-man rotation, but only one player, and that was the iron shoulder Goran Dragic, played over 30 minutes. The rotation was all over the place. We had Jim Johnson starting once more. He had 21 minutes, 4-2-6 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. Really hard to own. That's a great line, but it is hard to own him with those limited minutes. Hassan Whiteside, he went from monstrous line of the night to, I think, dud of the night to... yeah, really good night. 26 and 8, a steal, 2 blocks, 75% shooting. Fantastic from Whiteside. A big minute game, at least for him, 29 minutes. But he's just as likely to play 19 or 20 in the next matchup. His numbers are that all over the place. Wasn't a great Joshy Richardson night, 22 minutes. 13, 4, 2, steal, a block, 3 triples. Still gets it done fantasy-wise, so don't panic too much. Justice Winslow kept up his strong form, 9 and 6 with 3 triples, a steal, and 2 blocks. And he is a borderline 12-team league guy. But these other guys like the Duke, Tyler Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, they're really on the periphery. Their minutes are in that mid to low 20s, 25 for Johnson, 22 for the Duke in his return. Wade had 23, Olynyk had 24, and they all produce nice numbers, and they're probably all, to be honest, 14-team league guys, but they're just not going to play a large enough role to be considered 12-team league players outside of streaming-type scenarios. The Boston Celtics and the Minnesota Timberwolves, Irving returned, so that moved Shane Larkin to the bench. In fact, Larkin was out of the rotation entirely. Terry Rozier got his 24 bench minutes, 13-4 with 2 steals. But Jaylen Brown, he suffered a pretty scary injury.
Oh, no!
Went up for a dunk and fell on his sort of back slash neck, was knocked out, had that thing where they sort of sit up all stiff with his arms, you know, stuck straight out as his body was like spasming. He was down for a while, that the arena was extremely silent. He got up. He was able to walk off under his own power, didn't return to the game, obviously, and he's in the concussion protocol. We don't know how long he's going to be out, if he's out at all. I would assume at least a game or two there for Jaylen, but it looks like he's escaped any sort of serious damage. Not that a concussion's not serious, but any sort of structural or, you know, career or life-threatening type of stuff, that seems to be not the case. If he misses time, which again appears like it will be, Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier are going to be the major beneficiaries. Well, deeper league guys might want to look at someone like Abdul Nadir, who might get himself 7 or 8 minutes a night there. Al Horford, 28-6 in 34 minutes. Yeah, he is a real problem for the Celtics. Shout out to the numbnuts that wrote that article. Marcus Morris, strong. 33 minutes for Morris, 17-5 with 3 triples. It's hard to find a better streaming points option than there is for Marcus Morris, but not saying he's a must-own guy. Well, Jason Tatum, only 22 minutes, 12-5, 10-team leagues. I think see you later. 12-team leagues, I think see you later. And it's never a case of I'm just dropping him, because you've got to have someone to add and you've got to make sense of what you're doing, but he shouldn't be considered untouchable. Marcus Smart played a lot of minutes, shot poorly from the field, from the line, but added 6 assists and added 2 steals, and you know what you're getting from Smart. The percentages are going to be a problem, but you'll get rebounding generally, assists and steals, and he normally can chip in some threes as well. For the Timberwolves, they signed Derrick Rose. He did not appear in this game, even though he was in uniform. I don't know that that necessarily means that he is the third point guard. I don't know. Yeah, Thibodeau had some confusing statements. We want to see dual point guard lineups of Jones with Teague and Rose involved there as well. When so far this season, Teague and Tyus Jones have played together for 9 minutes, and the first time they did that was the middle of February. So not like that's been something he's been really into at all. So it's going to be interesting if they do play Rose minutes here. He's not a 10-team, 12-team, 14-team, 16-team league guy, probably not even an 18-team league player. If you're in a 20-team league, maybe you use Derrick Rose, but there's a realistic proposition that he is not even a guy that plays every single night, and I think that's a more likely scenario. We will see, though, of course. Teague had 13-5-8 here, while Bielitsa we talked about already with a big game. Wigo, 13-7-4 with 2 steals, but shot just horrendously, 29% on 21 attempts, while Townsie had 15-11, and Jamal Crawford had 15 points in his 24. Put him in that Marcus Morris points streamer type category. That's Jamal Crawford. Taj had his 18-4, strong night from Taj, and he remains a solid, low upside 12-team league player. The Phoenix Suns and the Oklahoma City Thunder, just a smashing as expected. TJ Warren was out of this game, and with his back playing up, Josh Jackson got the start, and then he hurt his knee. He was ruled out of the game, but MRI has come back for Jackson, saying no structural damage. He is day-to-day with left knee irritation. So look, he might not miss any time. Davon Reed started the second half for Jackson. You're going to get more minutes for him, more minutes for Troy Daniels, and more minutes for Shaq Harrison if Jackson misses any time. Harrison would be interesting in terms of his ability to get steals. He had 9, 4, and 3 with a steal and a block, while Daniels is your 3-point streaming guy. He had 2 triples with 2 steals here, but again, not a long-term situation for Jackson, nor do I think it's a long-term one for TJ. Devin Booker had 30, another big game from him, while 20 minutes for Tyson Chandler yielded him 10 points with 5 rebounds, and Len played 11. Clearly, you can drop Len in any 12-team league and probably 14-teamer. While Marquise Chris's run of decent games that obviously ended, he had 5-4 in 24 minutes. At least he didn't foul out. Really more just a 14-16 team league player. On the Thunder, very little to report, apart from the fact that they started Corey Brewer over Josh Huestis. I was pretty critical of the signing of Brewer, but he started well here. He played well. He moved a lot, 17 points in 28 minutes with 4 rebounds. But again, the level of the competition playing against the Suns, it definitely skews that performance, and I wouldn't be rushing for him in 10s, 12s, 14s, or probably even 16-team leagues. He can be a steal streamer, but he's not going to score at this level or go out there and run with a 22% usage rate and score more points than Carmelo Anthony very often. So don't get overly interested in this game. Let's see if he sticks in the starting lineup. It looks as though he will, but he's more of that deeper league sort of a player. Paulie George had 21-4-3, while Russ had 27-8-9, and Adams in only 30 minutes had 16-12 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. Really big opportunity for him to dominate the Suns, and he came through as expected when your level of opponent is like that, and Suns are big men opponents always seem to go off and put up some big numbers. Don't forget, you are listening to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and it's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network shows on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net, and you can check out your team every day over there. Let's talk player spotlight. We're going to Indiana, and we're going to be looking at Dazza Collison, who is or has been upgraded to questionable after missing the last few weeks with that knee surgery. So he is potentially coming back on Friday. He'll likely come off the bench behind Corey Joseph, but he is a guy that's been really impressive this year. The 50th ranked player overall in only 30 minutes, averaging 13 points, 1.3 triples, but it's 5 assists, it's 1.5 steals, and it's his efficiency which really stands out. A true shooting of 61%, by far a career high, 50% from the field, 90% from the line, and 43% from three. This is his third consecutive season of shooting 40% from three, and a really underrated, great three-point shooter. Yes, it's not on very high volume, only 3 attempts per game, but he knocks them down. He provides just what you need. He's a really strong roto guy, probably more stronger for roto than he is for head-to-head, just with his ability to contribute nice numbers in every category without being a huge, massive boost in one category. Not a guy that gains a ton of value from punting or anything along those lines. If we look at him moving forward, he is already over 30. He's got a contract for next season, but it's a partially guaranteed year for next season with the Pacers. I don't know. Actually, let's have a look. $2 million guaranteed for next season. They've got to make the decision on the 1st of July. Not like they have a great point guard prospect in the offing here in Indiana that he's got to make way for. He could have another season of playing 29 or 30 minutes a game. But at the age of 30, for a guy that's bounced around it and made a really serviceable career out of himself in the NBA, has played very, very well over his time at multiple teams, at the Pelicans. He struggled a bit in his first stint in Indiana and Dallas, but really good in LA with the Clippers, good with the Kings, and back here good being in Indiana. In fact, his teams over the past 4 seasons have always been better with him on the court versus on the bench, and that's always a good sign, especially when it's spread over 4 seasons. Decent enough advanced stats, good box score plus minuses, above average PER for every season of his career, going back to the 2011 and 2012 season, his last year in Indiana, above average there, above average win shares, positive box score plus minus in majority of his seasons. He's just a good average to above average point guard who provides efficient roto type numbers. At some point in his playing time, it might go down another minute next year, depending on what the Pacers do in the offseason. Of course, they're not putting themselves in a position to draft some sort of stud young guy who's going to come and take over, considering they're a top 4 seed in the East at the moment. And Corey Joseph's not some young guy that's going to just thrive and develop, nor is Joe Young. No one's really coming for his playing time, but you could see him playing a minute fewer next season. Still think the shooting will be fine, and he'll still just continue to do what he does if they decide to retain him for one more year, which at $10 million, I believe they will. But after that, I think that you're going to transition into Collison moving into a 20-minute backup type role, and then his dynasty value does really drop off. If he's on your waiver wire this year with him returning from a knee injury tomorrow, I would go and grab him, especially in a roto league, just for that sort of bump in numbers. But if you need efficiency with assists and some threes, and Collison's around, it might take him 2 or 3 games to get back up to 29, 30 minutes. He's worth having a look at. If you've got a guy like Ish Smith, if you've got George Hill, I would be dropping those sort of players to go and grab Dazza Collison, who is potentially on some of the waiver wires around your fantasy league. We are going to move on to DFS now, but I'm going to talk some injury news that came out for some of these teams. So some of you guys in seasonal leagues will want to stay tuned. We'll talk about the injuries in Orlando to Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier in particular. Some news that could have some big repercussions for seasonal guys as well. We don't exactly know how that's all going to break down, but we'll talk about that when we look at it from a DFS point of view. All right, let's no perfect lineup yet because the games haven't concluded. We will just go straight into previewing the first of these 10 games that is up on Friday. The first one of those is the Chicago Bulls. They are taking on the Detroit Pistons. This is the Pistons are still, I guess, got some level of hope in terms of making the playoffs, but it seems very, very unlikely that they would do that. That they're going to do that. They are favored by 8 here, the Pistons, and the total is 213.5. Stan Johnson is questionable with back tightness that kept him out of last game. If he returns, I'm not sure if they do start Luke Kennard again or if Jim Ennis gets that spot back. That remains to be seen. I would think they might go back to Ennis if Johnson's healthy, but again, I don't really know that at this stage. At point guard, and point guards do very well against the Bulls. Ish Smith's at 5,600. He is not very good, but the matchup dictates that you do have to include him into your GPP player pool. So I think that at that price, with 35 upside, I do think that you need to have a look at him there. Dwight Bikes is the backup at minimum salary. He can have some okay games. In fact, he's done well against Chicago in the past. I think you probably wouldn't go that far. While Chrissy Dunn at 7,400, a big game from Dunn the last time the Bulls played, 44 points alongside LaVine and Markkanen, who both played well as well. So that was a great sign, and the matchup is a positive for Dunn. So I think you can consider him without him being the best play on the board. At shooting guard, Levine's at 7,000, just really struggling to get to that level majority of games. He can be better, clearly, but I'd only be looking at him as a tournament guy rather than cash. And Justin Holiday, he could start again, but he's not going to play big minutes. I wouldn't be getting too excited there. While Kennard at 36, we don't know if he's going to be a DMP. We don't know if he's going to start. It's still very much up in the air. Stan Johnson not interested in. Jim Ennis at 47. I think that price might be a little bit too high, especially if Johnson plays. While Reggie Bullock is now at 5,600 because he's consistently giving you 26 or 27 points. But is there upside for him to go higher than that? So is he worth a tournament look? Probably not. And do you feel confident with his floor? I feel more confident with his floor than I do of him having a high ceiling. So I could use Bullock in cash, enabling me to get other guys in. David Nwaba and the Hammer, Denzel Valentine, really tough to use them with Justin Holiday back in the rotation. Larry Markkanen's at 6,300. I like Markkanen here. Played well against the Pistons the last time that these two teams met. So I think that Markkanen is fine at that sort of a price. While Punchbob Shiploke at 6,800. Robin Lopez is back. We don't know if he's going to be starting, but Portis has been struggling to exceed 30 minutes a night anyway without Lopez. So I think his minutes are going to drop, and that sort of salary is probably not going to work. Blakey Griffin's in a strong spot in the matchup against the Bulls. He's at 8,600, and he is back in those last three games, averaging 45 points. So I think that he is worth looking at 8,600 and just feeling like you're going to get a 40 out of him, at least with 50 to 60 point upside. Tone Tolliver, Eric Morlin, no. At center, Drummond, 10-2. Great matchup for Drummo. You think you're going to get 45 out of him at least, which is not quite where it needs to be, but he's got 60 point upside, probably even higher. In fact, he had an 87 point game earlier this season. So I think for Drummo, at 10-2 is definitely worth a squeeze. Felizio, Robin Lopez, I don't really think you want to get too heavily involved at looking at those guys. On DraftKings, Griffin at 8-4, I think he's a good cash option there. Well, Chrissy Dunn at 67 and Lowry Markkanen at 59. Tournament guys, although Markkanen at 59, I can see why you would look at that in cash. Drummo at 9-5 is also all right, but I think there are more valuable options on DraftKings as a whole, as opposed to FanDuel, where the value is a lot tighter. All right. Let's move on to the next game now. We're going to talk the Atlanta Hawks and those Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 8 points. Daz Collison questionable, as I mentioned, but he'd be coming off the bench behind Corey Joseph, even if he does return. At point guard, we've got Dennis Schroeder at 6,500. Point guards have struggled all season against the Pacers to really get anything going. It's not like the Pacers are bad enough that they'll sit Schroeder or rest him, but I wouldn't be feeling super confident about using Dennis in cash, maybe tournament at best. Collison at 52, I think we'd fade that. Isaiah Taylor and Tyler Dorsey and Corey Joseph. I don't really see the value in any of those guys. Kent Bazemore's at 5,400 unless he rests. I think he's not a bad guy to have a look at. Victor Oladipo's defense can be a real problem. Yeah, initiating turnovers, getting the steals off guys, that can be a concern for a guy like Bazemore. So in general sense, he is a fade, but he's not a horrendous fade. He's not someone who I'd be like steer clear of under all circumstances. As for Oladipo, $9,900 for Vic. His shooting has been off the last couple of games, but still averaging 43 over his last five. So he's clearly got, you know, 60, 70 point upside in him here. And if the shot falls, then he's going to get you 50 pretty easily. But I still don't have a full level of confidence of spending almost $10,000 on Oladipo. At small forward, Bojan Bogdanovic at 5,600, a pretty good matchup for him. He's playing very well. I'm okay with using that. While the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince has been cranking out the numbers, 33 average over his last five, and his lowest score in his last five is 27. You give me 27 at 5,700, I'm all about it. Cash, tournaments, no problem whatsoever with the artist known as, formerly known as Taurean Prince. The Baptist, John Collins, is at 6,100. It's a hefty price, but he has got 40 point upside here, so he is worth a tournament look at most. While Thaddeus Young at 5,800 has really struggled, averaging only 19 over the last three, but I think this is a real turnaround spot for him, especially with the matchup that he has got here. So I do like using him in this matchup. Well, Sabonis at 46, I think, is a pretty strong fade, as is Trevor Booker. Not that you'd be using him anyway. At center, Miles Turner. It's a great matchup for Turner, but his inconsistency is a real pain in the ass. He did have 38 points the last time out, and is playing okay. At 6,300, though, I think you can only really look at him as a tournament guy just for the uncertainty in his play. You've got The Undertaker at 5,800. I think I would leave Deadman out of it. He's quite up and down. He had a big game in the last one, tournament only for him, while Mike Muscala doesn't really get many of the juices flowing. Let's have a look at how this looks on DraftKings. Collins is the guy that I really like here. The Baptist, 5,600. I like that for cash and I like that for tournaments, while Oladipo is at a more appealing 9,200, as is Miles Turner's 6,000. But again, with way more value on DraftKings, you can probably find better options than those guys. Bojan Bogdanovic is too highly priced, I believe, and so is The Undertaker. Dwayne Dedman, both of those guys at 5,800. Just got some good news in regarding Jaylen Brown. He is flying back with the team on the team plane back to Boston, so he's not being kept in hospital, which is a great sign for his recovery. Obviously, that's fantastic. He's traveling back with the team, so you couldn't get any better news for that Jaylen Brown injury. So hopefully he is not out too long and that his health is all good. It's looking pretty good at the moment, which is, again, as I said, always a good thing for us to see. The Houston Rockets and the Toronto Raptors, an absolutely massive game. The number one seed in the West, the number one seed in the East, taking on each other in Toronto. The Rockets are favored by 1.5 and the total's 221 points. Ryan Anderson is out, while DeLon Wright for the Raptors is listed as doubtful, and the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He is out as well. Clint Capella's probable with his right calf soreness, while Joe Johnson is probable again with illness. Not that Johnson has too much of an impact. At point guard, Fred VanVleet at 4,700. No Anunoby, no DeLon Wright most likely. So Freddie is probably going to push close to 30 minutes here. He's at 4,700. If it turns into a three-point shootout type of game, I like Fred, but only really as a tournament guy. While Kyle Lowry at 7,600 always does well against the Pistons, and he did well in that last game against them. And now we've got the Rockets, one of his former teams. He's not quite as proficient against them, but you got the feeling that this isn't going to be a game that the bench is going to carry the day for them. So he's going to have to play bigger minutes. So I like using Lowry at that price. I think that is worthwhile. Chris Paul's at 8,300. I'd probably prefer Lowry to Paul, to be honest. He's been a little bit underwhelming with his production levels. Definitely nothing horrible or anything like that, but not justifying that sort of a salary tag. Storm and Norman Powell's at 3,700. He had 25 points in 28 minutes in the last game. And with Wright and Anunoby both unlikely to play, with Anunoby definitely not playing, Powell has that opportunity for increased minutes. So at 3,700, sure, he is a tournament guy, but he's inconsistent. We've seen it many times from Norm this season that it's hard to rely on in cash. I love DeMar DeRozan at 8,200. He had a monster against the Pistons. He plays well against Houston. You feel like 40 is almost the minimum for DeRozan, and that's a pretty good spot. Well, Jimmy Harden at 11,200. How can you go past Jim Harden? The correct answer to that is that you can't. So I do like using him at 11,200. Eric Gordon's been shooting really well. I don't really buy into that. And that price is something I don't want to deal with, 5,600. CJ Miles at 3,500. I have no interest. Once every 20 games, he'll go off and put up a big performance, but that is clearly not something that you can rely upon all that often. And the big games aren't big enough to use him. Trevor Ariza at 53 is okay. He's played fairly well, 25 average over the last five. I just think they're going to be better options out there than using Big Trev. Serge Ibaka, ejected the last game, only 6 points and averaging under 20 over the last five. But at $5,000 with a significant price drop and a 29 average the last three times out against Houston, I'm in on Serge here. Now, it could blow me up. It could bite me in the ass very easily. But at $5,000, I have a level of confidence that Ibaka's A, going to play more than 23 minutes, and B, that he's going to be able to produce more than 25 points. So I do like him, even though the matchup is somewhat of a negative. Pascal Siakam, Luke Marmute, don't really think we need to be too interested in those guys. At center, Jakob Poeltl at 4,400. I think there's a decent risk here just because of the blowout nature, but there's also a chance that Valanciunas isn't able to stay on the court with the Capella Harden, Capella Paul Harden, Paul Ariza, Paul Gordon, whatever bullshit pick and roll combinations they're going to throw out there, that JV gets in a lot of trouble and Poeltl can hang with those more often. So if he was coming in at 3,800, I go, you know what? There's a 26, 27 point upside situation here for Poeltl. But at 4,400, it takes the cap off the ceiling. It takes the value off the ceiling there. And you go, oh, well, what's he going to get? 27? Is that really worth it? Plus, there's like a 12 point minimum floor here, which is not a great spot at that salary. So I don't love him, but there is the opportunity for him to play a bit more. It's also why I don't really like Valanciunas at 6,700, even though he's cranking out 38 a game over his last three and was an absolute monster in that game against the Pistons. I just don't really see him being able to do the same thing against Houston. Capella at 7,200 has been underwhelming, and I think that he is, in the last couple of games, I think he's a fade here against the Raptors. On DraftKings, I like Harden, I like DeRozan, I like Paul. All of those guys with their respective salaries are strong cash and tournament options. Lowry not quite as good at 7,400, and Serge Ibaka not priced as well on DraftKings as he is on FanDuel. He's at 51 on DraftKings, and he's a flat 5 on FanDuel. So the value isn't quite there for him. Well, Poeltl at 3,800, that's a good tournament play, because as all those reasons that I said when discussing his value over on FanDuel. Let's go on to the next game. The New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 10 points in this game because clearly the Knicks are not very good. The total is 213.5 points. Tyler Zeller and Matty Dellavedova are both questionable. If Zeller is out, Thon McCurr didn't even play against the Rockets, even with Zeller out. Now, it's a little bit of a different story against the Knicks. Enes Kanter's a different matchup to what Houston throws out there, but don't be surprised if Thon doesn't get in at all. Well, with Dellavedova in trouble or not looking like he's going to play, Sterling Brown, Jace Terry, they're the guys who are going to get those extra minutes. At point guard, and a guy who will likely start at shooting guard again because Courtney Lee is out for personal reasons, Frankie Ntilikina is at 3,600. I don't mind it as a tournament. He's clearly not really doing anything at the moment, but he can have these games where he has six assists, where he has three steals, where he blocks a couple of shots, where he knocks in a couple of threes. He's had a 40-point game this year, and at 3,600, I like that ability. I know he can do it, and he's going to have an opportunity for big minutes here. So I think he's a good tournament option. Manny Moutier at 44, he has just been absolutely atrocious recently, so he's a fade. While Trey Burke at 5,200, I'd rather take Burke over Moutier here with Manny really struggling. But Burke's hot shooting, as it was always going to do, has cooled off recently. Eric Bledsoe's at 7,600, as tasty a matchup as you can get. So I think Bledsoe is absolutely fine for cash and for tournament play. Timmy Hardaway's at 6,100. He's the only Knicks player who seems to get consistent minutes, but his production just isn't quite at the high enough level. The defensive matchup of the Bucks is a problem, so I don't really feel all that comfortable with him. While Chris Middleton on the flip side, a great matchup for mid. He had 46 in that game against the Rockets. He's at 7,000. Clear 40-point type of a player. You know, 31, 32-point floor, which I think is totally fine at 7,000. Tone Snell, Damian Dotson, Sterling Brown, Jace Terry. Brown was great against the Rockets at 3,600, had 21 points. I don't really think that that's going to be a totally reproducible type of a line. At small forward, Yanni, 11,800. This has got 60 written all over it for Yanni against the Knicks. We know he teabagged Tim Hardaway Jr. a few weeks ago. Could that happen again? Let's hope so. No offense to Tim Hardaway, but it's always fun seeing those sort of dunks. 11,800 is a big price, but I think it's worth going up there. Well, Troy Williams, a minimum salary guy who's playing minutes, not really contributing huge amounts, but can hit some threes. I don't really see it for him. Lance Thomas started last game over Mick Beasley, but Beasley played the bulk of those minutes and actually played well, 30 points in 25 minutes. I don't really feel great about either player, though. At power forward, Jabari Parker. Now, Jabari's been up and down, more down than up, but at 5,700, this matchup is what makes me go, you know what, maybe Jabari can drop a 32 or 33, and I think he's a tournament guy, but no cash. The Muppet, John Henson at 5,000, I have very little faith in him at all. At center, the Cock Monsters at 5,000, while Enes Kanter's at 6,900. Kanter has been putting up big numbers with a 41 average over his last three. Bucks centers have been easier earlier in the season. It's been a bit of a negative recently, but if they go with Giannis at center, which they could very well do, Kanter's going to be in a ton of trouble, so I think I'd be fading him. O'Quinn would be interesting. At 5,000, it might be pushing it a little bit, and I think at that price, I would leave it alone. Coming a bit cheaper, and I think he's in a decent situation. Let's go ahead and look at this one over on DraftKings. I like Yanni at 10-7. That's really, really good. Well, Jabari and Kylo Quinn are good tournament plays. 4,900 for Jabari Parker is a really good option. Well, Nilakina at 36 also coming into play there. Timmy Hardaway at 6-2 is probably too high. Bledsoe and Middleton are okay without really standing out in a field where there is a lot of value happening. Let's go on to the next game. We've got the Washington Wizards and the New Orleans Pelicans. Tone Davis has been labeled as doubtful. He's got an ankle sprain. The MRI was negative, thankfully, but he is doubtful for this game. We'll see if he plays across the weekend. I think he maybe misses two games max, but we don't know at this point. That's my early guess. With him likely not playing, we're going to get more minutes for Nick Mirotic, we're going to get more minutes for Emeka Okafor, we're going to get more minutes for Darius Miller, and we're going to get more minutes for my boy Cheick Diallo. So some real opportunities opening up here in New Orleans. Was it in New Orleans? Yeah, opening up in New Orleans for this game. At point guard, Tomas Satoranski is at 5,800. He had a bounce back in that last one. 34 points in 40 minutes. I think that salary is probably just a little bit too high for him. Ian Clark and Rondo. Rondo at 6,500. I just think that prices him out of getting to that value. Look, he's been pretty good. He's racking up the stats, but I don't have full trust in him, and I'm not sure his value is high enough. But without Davis out there, can he have an increase in his usage? Well, surely he will, but will that result in huge numbers? I'm not necessarily sure. At shooting guard, Bradles Beal, 8,600, and Drew Holiday's at 8,500. So you can toss up between those two guys. I will probably take Drew with Davis out and $100 cheaper. That would be the direction I would go. But Beal's not a terrible play, but I think I would take Holiday over him. At small forward, Darius Miller, minimum salary, again, could play minutes at the four. I think he is worth throwing into a tournament guy. And worth having a look at in terms of throwing in there just to see if he hits some threes and that and gets things going. Otto Porter is questionable with that hip injury. 7,500 for Otto. If he plays, I'm okay with using him, but we don't know that at this point. And if he is out, Kelly Oubre at 5,300 is definitely worth a look. But if Porter plays, I think it's a tough one to consider Oubre. At power forward, here's where we get some value happening. Diallo is a minimum salary player. He's very easily got 20-point upside here. Oh, shit, he's got 30-point upside. At minimum salary, I think you almost have to have him in cash. In tournaments, maybe you can differentiate yourself, but there is value clearly here in Diallo. And Nick Mirotic at 6,700. Look, he's got 35-minute potential here, 45-point upside. I think he is almost a must play as well. Their ownership is going to be high. I also like Markieff Morris a fair bit. 5,700 for Markieff. I feel like he's got a relatively stable floor, and I think that he can be a strong option in this game. at center, Emeka Okafor, 3,800. He's not going to score, you know, huge points, but he did have a 30-point game the other day. He can block shots. He can get you 7 or 8 rebounds in 26 minutes. I think he's worth it at 3,800. Probably more cash than tournaments just because he doesn't have the massive, massive upside. But yeah, he's a really strong option. Marcin Gortat at 4,000. Gortat has done very well against the Pelicans. In fact, averages 36 in his last 3 games in only 22 minutes per contest. At that sort of price, at 4,000, without Davis around to get him into foul trouble, I think he's a sneaky GPP guy. Jan Mahinmi, we're not really all that interested in big old Jan. On DraftKings, Mirotić at 7,000, love it. Diallo at 39, also love it. And Okafor at 4,200, value all around with those guys. Markieff's in a strong spot. I like Otto Porter. I like Drew. It's very, very similar setup to how it is on FanDuel. Satoransky's probably in a more favorable spot on DraftKings, and you could consider him at 5,500. He'd be someone who I would use on DraftKings as opposed to on FanDuel. All right, let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyreke Evans is out. Chandler Parsons is out. We've got Jarrell Martin listed as questionable. If he is out, that bumps the value of guys like Jermichael Green. Given the state of the opponent, I don't imagine Marc Gasol's going to be having to sit down the stretch to preserve a loss. He should still get his minutes and be able to put up his numbers. At point guard, Ravishing Rick Rubio's at $7,000. He was very, very strong in the Jazz last win against the Pacers, 43 points there. But the blowout risk here, I think, limits him at that elevated salary, so I think I'd leave him alone. Xavier Rattan-Mays at $4,000 with all the absences there in the backcourt. He is worth a look at $4,000. I don't hate that as even a cash option, to be honest. At shooting guard, the Don at $8,000. I think that's too high for Donovan Mitchell. He's been great, but he hasn't really been getting to that level. In fact, he hasn't got to 40 points once in the last 5 games. So I think that he is not someone I'm all that interested in. While Kobe Simmons at $4,500, he's going to get another start at point guard. And I think that for cash, you should feel pretty good about low 20s to mid 20s in fantasy points for Simmons, which is fine at $4,500. You know, some definite value there. Benny McLemore at $4,800 has also been playing very, very well. I don't know if I can put full trust in McLemore, and they have bumped his salary, but I think I would look at him as a tournament-interested type of a guy. At small forward, Brooksy, Dylan Brooks, $5,200. He has been killing it recently, 39 in his last game, averages 29, actually, against the Jazz, which is a huge number for him. I think that I don't know if I'd be totally locked in on him being cash just because of the Jazz opposition, but he is absolutely a tournament guy to look at. Well, Jingle and Joe at $6,400. I like what Ingles has been doing, clearly putting up some really strong numbers, but is he worth $6,400? My answer at this point is no. At power forward, Jay Crowder's at 46. If you're going to use it, it's tournaments only. The matchup suits him, but not really interested. Well, $5,800 for Derek Favors does not get me interested. Jermichael Green's at $6,100. It is a shit matchup for him. I don't think he's a good player. We saw him fade in the last game. If I was to use him, and I probably wouldn't, I would be more inclined if Jarrell Martin is out. But it'd only really be for tournaments. I just have no cash faith in him at all. For center, Gobert is at $9,200. Now, that is huge, but he has struggled in the past against Gasol. Centers have struggled in general against Gasol this year. I think that's too high for Gobert. While Gasol at $7,700, we've talked about it a bit. Centers have been able to put up some decent numbers against Gobert. Gasol averages 36 against him the last 3 times. He's averaging 41 his last 5 games in general. I think that he's worth a look. There is always the risk of what happened against the Bulls happens again. But at $7,700, Gasol has 50-point upside here. And that I think his ownership will be pretty low because a lot of people still are scared off about Gobert, and rightfully so. I understand why they are. But the stats haven't really backed that up of recent times. On DraftKings, the Don at $7,000, it's a completely different kettle of fish. I'm all about Don Mitchell at $7,000. Really, really interested in him there. While Dylan Brooks at $47 is a strong tournament play too on DraftKings. Gasol at $7,200, very similar story to FanDuel. While Gobert is at $77, and I'm totally fine with that at $7,700. That's what I'm talking about with DraftKings. There's way more value appearing on DraftKings as opposed to FanDuel, which has been the case pretty much all season apart from the first 3 to 4 weeks of the year. Let's move on to the next game. who is it? We have got the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are favored by 6.5. The total is 229.5. Both these teams coming off two-game losing streaks at the moment. At point guard, Isaiah Thomas is at 6,700. It's a big chunk. The matchup is a real positive for Thomas, but I don't feel confident with him in cash. Will he get 30? Will he get 25 minutes? Give him 30 minutes, and I think that he does break this value, and he can get you 40, so I like him for a tournament play. While the Blue Arrow is struggling, 6,200. If he matches up against Isaiah Thomas, he's in a good spot, but Lonzo Ball's defense is a different kettle of fish, so I'd only be looking at Murray as a tournament guy. As for Lonzo, he's at 7,500. He had 40 the last time he played the Nuggets. He's averaging 37 his last five. I actually think he's a pretty strong cash option in this game. At shooting guard, Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
6,700 for Gazza. It's not bad. KCP's defense could be a problem, and Caldwell Pope is a pretty good defender. I think there are better options out there than Gaz, to be honest, whereas Caldwell Pope at 6,800, he really shit the bed in the last game. Had been very strong prior to that. The Gaz-Harris defense can be somewhat of a negative also. I think you might be able to find a better option than KCP. If I had to pick between Harris and KCP, I would take Gaz. Will Barton is down to 7,100 because he was horrendous in the last game, but that shouldn't dissuade you from having him in your tournaments. He's playing big minutes still. He's going to have that opportunity. He is inconsistent, and that's why he can be a hard guy to use in cash at times, but I like the tournament value. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler's at 5,000. I've got absolutely no interest in that at all. No Brandon Ingram again for the Lakers, so you're going to have the future MVP Kyle Kuzma starting at small forward, and FanDuel has bumped him to 6,800. Probably because he had 44 in the last game and played 42 minutes. That price takes a lot of the value away from Kuzma, but he's been playing a little bit better of late at small forward, getting more usage, and I think that he is someone that you can have a look at and you can consider as a tournament guy here. Trey Lyles at minimum salary, no thanks. Julius Randle at 8,100, that is a big chunk. Paul Millsap's a tough matchup, so I think I'd be fading Randle, while Millsap at 6,500, that price is too high given his minutes restriction, which we don't know if they're still in place. I believe they will be. Nick Jokic really bounced back last game, had 56 points. He's at 9,700. I'm not feeling fully confident that one game solved all the problems, but he does have clearly, more than 50 point upside here, which makes him a tournament guy, but I'm not ready to go with him in cash. While Brook Lopez was sensational for the Lakers in the last game, he is at 5,900. I think that he is worth a look here in tournaments, but that price is pretty restrictive in terms of using him for cash. I'm just not sure that the value is quite there. Although, again, he has played very well over the last couple of games. Let's have a look at the DraftKings side of things. Isaiah Thomas is at 6,100. You're totally okay with using him there at that price. That's a strong one. I think Lonzo is a bit overpriced on DraftKings. Jokic at 9,300 and Randle at 7,800 are in similar spots to how they are on FanDuel, but I'd be more interested in using Jokic on DraftKings than I am on FanDuel. While Will Barton down to 6,900 is a really good tournament type of play there. And the Blue Arrows price has tumbled down to 5,600. I absolutely think that you use that in tournaments because that is a fantastic upside there for him. Lopez at 5,200, I think, is also pretty strong on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. At this point, I'm going to assume that Steph Curry does not play, but we don't have word on that just at this point, but that would be my current assumption. When he doesn't play, and Pat McCaw still dealing with a wrist injury, Sean Livingston's not necessarily a great option. Quinn Cook, might throw him into a GPP type of a scenario, but guys like Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant get boosts, Draymond gets a boost, and even a guy like Uncle P, Nick Young, can get an increase in playing time and shot attempts. Lillard's at 9,700. I feel pretty good about using him. He's just constantly cranking out 40-point nights, and I think he's a strong, strong cash play. Well, Shabazz Napier, if Mo Harkless is back, which it looks like he is, then Napier loses a lot of his value, and at 4,400, I don't want anything to do with that. Livingston will be a minimum salary guy. It is a back-to-back game, but they didn't play him early. They got Quinn Cook as the first guy off the bench in this game, probably trying to save Livingston for tomorrow's game. They have rested him in a few back-to-backs recently. Throw him into a tournament, and you can do the same with Cookie. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum, 7,300, has done okay against Klay Thompson before, and the Warriors averaged 35 the last three times. I think he's still more tournamenty. His consistency is not quite where it needs to be at the moment. While Thompson at 65, I've been down on him the majority of the season. His salary never seems to move, but with Curry seemingly unlikely to play, I think that Klay, if Curry misses, would be a guy that I'd feel okay about in using in cash. Uncle P also just that tournament upside play. At small forward, Mo Harkless at 3,900, no interest in him, while Durant at 9,800 is going to become a strong play, I think, with Curry out. Iguodala missed this game with a wrist injury, or missed today's game with a wrist injury. He's going to be questionable for tomorrow, so we're not sure if he's going to go, while Evan Turner at 36. No thanks. Power forward, the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
He has done well against the Warriors many times in the past, so I really like him as a tournament guy here. Definitely not feeling it in cash, though. Draymond's at 7,700, and I think that is also a really good spot for Green. He does well against Portland, no Steph. Some extra playmaking and ball handling for him can really work in his favor, so I do like Draymond quite a bit in this game. Who else have we got to look at here? Dave West is dealing with that cyst on his arm still. Yeah, he's not going to be useful. Well, Ed Davis and Kevon Looney, probably not either. At center, Yusuf Nurkic at $6,000. Surprising good record against the Warriors, 29 average over the last three. I don't really feel strongly about using Nurk here, just given the Warriors matchup. Zach Collins, JaVale McGee, Zaza Pachulia. No, I think we can leave those guys alone. On DraftKings, Lillard at 94 is good. Durant at 89 is sensational. Probably going to be one of the better plays on the board if Curry misses, as we expect. So some real value opening up there. McCollum at 68 is a tournament guy, and Thompson at 62 is looking really strong. And I also love Draymond quite a bit at 7,400. And of course, the Chief at 46, a perfect DFS GPP sort of a player. Let's go on to the next game. We've got the Orlando Magic and the Sacramento Kings. News out that Evan Fournier has suffered an MCL sprain, so he is going to miss this game. The Magic haven't given a timetable, but an MCL can be a week, it can be 6 weeks. He says that he is going to be back before this season is over, but I would assume a two-week absence from Fournier. And then we also found out that Aaron Gordon is in the concussion protocol. He got hit in the head by Julius Randle. The Magic have got a Friday-Saturday back-to-back. He's only currently been ruled out of Friday's game. I would imagine he misses at least Saturday's game and probably misses a week or two himself. What this does is opens up tremendous amount of value for John Simmons, John Isaac, and Mario Hezonja. Isaac's still on a minutes restriction, so I imagine Hezonja starts for Aaron Gordon, but I can see Isaac starting at the 3 and John Simmons moving over to the 2 and Isaac playing low 20s in minutes, but in the next week or so pushing up to close to 30. So those guys, Hezonja, Simmons, and Isaac, are all going to be standard league guys, and they're going to have some DFS value here. I'm pretty confident about that. DJ Augustin's dealing with an ankle injury, but it seems pretty likely that he is going to play. Speaking of Augustin, let's start with him. 5,200. The minutes have been pretty consistent for him, and it is a really good matchup for him. So I'd feel okay with using him, especially with the Fournier and Gordon usage completely gone off this team. DJ has an opportunity to drop a 20-8 sort of game. I think that's a possibility. So I really like DJ here. De'Aaron Fox is dealing with a back issue. If he is out, we're going to love Frankie Mason, who's at 3,900, and would be all over that. That would be an absolute cash lock if De'Aaron Fox is out. As for Foxy, if he plays, it's a fantastic opportunity against the Magic. Point guards, they do feast in general. He's at 5,700, and I'd be using him in cash if he is ready to play, but we don't know that yet. Will Cauley-Stein is also questionable for the Kings. We're not going to know about who's resting or who's not. We're not going to know before lock. They don't tell us. Sometimes they don't tell us even while the game's in progress. We have no idea. At shooting guard, Bogdan Bogdanovic was shitful in the last game. Only 14 points on 5,800. He can be better than that, so I like the GPP value. While Budrick Hield at 57, a really positive matchup. I think Bud is going to get you 25 or 26 almost at a minimum, and that makes him a pretty good cash option. At small forward, here we go. John Simmons is at 45 and Mario Hezonja is at 43. Both of those guys have absolutely fantastic cash value. You could easily get away with using lineups with both of them and then stack your team with guys like Jani, with Jim Harden. There's some real good value in both of those guys. Plus, you're throwing guys like Nick Mirotic or Sheck Diallo. There's going to be some pretty high scores on both FanDuel and DraftKings tomorrow, I believe. Wezawundu, Vince Carter, Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson at 4,200. Maybe you'd throw him into a tournament, but I wouldn't get too interested. Johnny Isaac at 3,700. If he played full minutes, I'd be absolutely in on this. At this point, we don't know his minutes restriction. He got into real foul trouble last game, and that limited his ability to stay on the court. So I think him at that sort of a price tag is a real tempting tournament one, but I wouldn't go there for cash. While Scal Labissiere, this is an alternate game, so Zach Randolph is likely out. Scal should start. He's at 6,500, but we just don't know at this point, so I think it's really hard to use him as anything more than a GPP option. Bismack Biyombo is at 3,900, and I don't really care. At center, Nick Vucevic, 9,200. He is going to absorb a ton of usage here. He's coming off a 52-point game anyway, and it's a perfect matchup for Vuce. And that's a big salary, 9,200. But for him to get 50, that doesn't sound stupid at all, given the scenario of no Fournier, no Gordon. I'm all about him here. Cauley Stein at 7,800. That's just too high for a guy coming off back issues. And if he is out, Kostas Koufos at 45, the matchup would be all right for Koufos. So he could be a nice low-end center. But you can find plenty of other low-price guys who are going to be in great situations. So using a 4,500 on Kostas Koufos is probably not going to be the best way of spending or using your low salary slots. On DraftKings, we love Vuce at 83, John Simmons at 47, Hezonja at 42. They're all really, really good options. Bogdan Bogdanovic is at 6,000. And I think that's probably more of a tournament one, but those other three guys are smashable for cash. DJ Augustin at 51, I think, is in a good spot. And John Isaac at 33, great tournament value. Heald is less appealing on DraftKings, as is Fox. Their prices are either equivalent or more expensive, and that doesn't work with the increased salary cap over there. If DJ Augustin does happen to miss, of course, we're going to be looking at Shelvin Mack as a really huge beneficiary and almost a must-roster cash guy at his sort of salary. Not sort of salary. Actual salary. The last game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the LA Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 1.5. The total is 231 points here. At point guard, Miloš Teodosic is at 4,500. Point guards have done well against the Cavs. We're well aware of that. Miloš has been a bit of a disappointment, but I think he's worth a tournament look, but I wouldn't be feeling too strongly about that. While Austin Rivers at 6,400, the only reason I'd consider Austin is just because of the opposition, given how elevated that price is. Really tough to use George Hill. His production is just nowhere near where it needs to be. Rocket Rodney Hood's a shooting guard. He is starting at small forward at the moment. He's at 5,300. I don't really see the value in him. Jordy Clarkson, same. While Lou Williams is up to 8,100. I think that Lou is an excellent tournament option here. Given the Cavs' defensive problems, he could easily torch them for 50. The Plumber, J.R. Smith, and Kyle Korver are your potential, you know, go-off three-point guys. I'm more into Korver than Smith, and I don't think either of them are must-roster guys. LeBron, 12,500. Given the value with those Magic players, with those Pelicans guys, you can fit LeBron in at that sort of a price and you feel pretty good about the sort of numbers that he is going to give you. Wes Johnson, Chetty Osman, Sam Decker, if they cobble together 15 between them, I think I'll be surprised. The table, Montrezl Harrell, 5,700. Wes Johnson was bumped from the starting lineup in the second half of last game. Harrell's the sort of guy who can go with players like Larry Nance, so I can see some extra minutes for Montrezl here. At 5,700, I think he's actually worth a look in cash, as dumb as that might seem. As for Nance, that salary is getting real restrictive. 7,800 for Lazar. He had 44 in the last game, and that might be just pushing it too far. I don't think we should be using him at that price. Toby Harris at 8,400 has been putting up some big, big numbers. 40-point average over his last five, but that salary I also think takes him out of consideration. At center, DeAndre's at $8,000. I think DeAndre at $8,000 is a pretty good cash option. Get you 39 to 42 around that range, and I'd feel pretty good about him getting to that level. While Ante Zizic at minimum salary, probably not especially against DeAndre Jordan. On DraftKings, LeBron at 11,500 I'm super into, and Toby Harris at 8,000 is looking better there too, while the table, Montrezl Harrell at 54, also value play. DeAndre, Lou Williams, you know, less interested in them on DraftKings than on FanDuel, while Larry Nance is a more palatable 7,100, and he could absolutely be considered. Okay, let's now wrap this up. Let's go through the other game or the other sites, starting with Yahoo and some options over there for tournaments. I like Jabari Parker. I like Brook Lopez, Ish Smith, Kylo Quinn, Jakob Poeltl, Jimmy Ennis, Miloš Teodosic, Frank Ntilikina, Justin Jackson, and Frank Mason, who would obviously convert to cash if De'Aaron Fox is out. For the cash and tournaments, Kobe Simmons, Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Emeka Okafor, Sheck Diallo, Budrick Hield, Reggie Bullock, Bojan Bogdanovic, Montrezl Harrell, Skel Labissiere, John Simmons, Mario Hezonja, Larry Nance, Nick Mirotic, Andre Drummond, Nick Vucevic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron James. On Moneyball for tournaments, Toby Harris, Middleton, Levine, Miles Turner, Ricky Rubio, Mario Hezonja, Lauri Markkanen, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Jabari Parker, Cheick Diallo, Dylan Brooks, Jim Ennis, Norm Powell. For cash, Kobe Simmons, Emeka Okafor, Markieff, Bojan, Thaddeus, Montrez, John Simmons, Chris Dunn, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Nick Mirotic, Andre Drummond, Nick Vucevic, and Jimmy Harden. On DraftStars for tournaments, we're looking at Mario Hezonja, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Skel Labissiere, Jim Ennis, Frank Ntilikina, Darius Miller, Norm Powell. And for cash, I've got John Isaac, Kobe Simmons, Emeka Okafor, Kylo Quinn, Diallo, Satoransky, Taurean Prince, Thaddeus, Montrez, Bojan Bogdanovic, Johnny Collins, Zach LaVine, John Simmons, Larry Nance, Isaiah Thomas, Don Mitchell, Toby Harris, Blake Griffin, Nick Mirotic, Nick Vucevic, and Jim Harden. Oh, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Don't forget, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating and review is a great way of supporting the show. And you can also find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify, and of course on YouTube, where you can subscribe, leave a thumbs up, and leave a comment. Again, check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter at LockedOnNBAnet. I'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend's action. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Billy Donovan.